A lot of pushback against the vaccine mandates. We'll talk about that today. Going to discuss the continued efforts behind placing the grizzly bear under state management, really. I mean, that's what it's all about, state control there. I think we're going to do a better job. Going to touch on inflation and the economy on today's show. First off is Senator Steve Daines. And then this economic discussion is going to fold into our next guest, who's going to be Dr. Robert Tino Sonora, Associate Director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. We got supply chain and long-term inflation and interest rates, and gas prices and stimulus spending. And we'll talk about all of that today on Voices of Montana. Let's welcome fifth generation Montanan, has brought a lot of public private sector experience to Washington, D.C. It's Montana Senator Steve Daines. Good morning, Senator. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, Tom.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. I got a list of things we'll get to, and we might even have to do a lightning round a bit later on. But let's start off with the grizzly bear. We were just at the wool growers convention, a big concern for them. Let me kind of set this up a little bit, because I know you've backed the governor's call for the Fish Wildlife Service to delist the grizzly bear. The issue is that being able to delist the bear as a distinct population, which would allow a legal delisting for Yellowstone and the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem to be separate from like the yak and the Cascades. Right now, that's still up in the air. That's in the courts. But on the ground, Senator, I think we see a more than fully recovered in those two areas, especially in Montana. And then the finish line keeps moving to the benefit of the environmental industry and to the detriment of ag and recreation. Can we get a win here?
Well, we must get a win, Tom. And that's the fight that we have at the moment. And I applaud Governor Gianforte. Because, you know, Governor Gianforte and I were business partners for many, many years building a software business, worked together. Greg Gianforte is focused on the science. He's focused on what the numbers say. And the science is absolutely clear. The grizzly bear has fully recovered in the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem. We should celebrate that accomplishment and delist the grizzly bear. This is really what the battle we faced in wolves a decade ago. You take a look at the numbers are well above recovery targets. The problem we have is the environmentalists do not want to see the grizzly bear delisted, that because they use that as leverage to shut down the natural resource economy in Montana, to ensure we can't get in and log, that we can't get in and mine, that we can't get in and basically enjoy in our public lands, because they've got them locked up because of the environmental radicals. So I fully support Greg's efforts to return the management back to the state of Montana. That's exactly what the law says. Let's celebrate the recovery. The numbers are way above recovery targets. And we've got to do something. We've got to do something to protect public safety. These are public safety issues, as well as we're seeing the predation losses for our livestock producers.
The Fish and Wildlife Service, they have policy that right now ties the bear to a distinct population. Can that policy be adjusted without having to go through Congress? Because I don't think the entirety of Congress has the will to really get in there and even do anything with the Endangered Species Act.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I mean, it's interesting, Tom, in terms of common sense. You know, when folks say, well, bears won't cross roads, bears won't cross interstate highways, that's baloney. They will, and they do. And so this idea in terms of how we can continue to have the, you know, the genetic diversity of the bears, that's again, I think you've got some folks here who are tied up in the ivory towers of Washington, D.C., and are not in tune with the reality of what's going on the ground back in Montana.
Yeah, and if that finish line keeps moving, they're just not going to get buy-in for their goals.
Look, they're trying to continue to raise, I think, just objections and excuses. They realize that they no longer can win the argument on the populations. The populations are way over the targets, way over the targets. And so they're trying to create other arguments to not allow us to delist the bear.
Is there anything in the courts that can force the hand in this issue?
Well, that's why, you know, we've got good, solid lawyers who are working with us on this to make sure we put together the strong arguments. And then we just have to have judges that aren't biased. We have to have judges here that will take a look at the science and divorce themselves from the politics of what's going on right now. And we must do this. If we can't delist the grizzly bear, you tell me when we'll ever be able to delist anything in this country.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. I mean, these numbers are so over the targets. It's like, if you can't delist the bear, then how can we delist any species ever?
Yeah, and that's very serious in that regard. And by the way, congratulations on your recognition by the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, awarded the Excellence in Advocacy Award. A lot of bipartisan work went into that. Just a comment on that itself.
No, well, thanks, Tom. That was a real honor. I have great respect for the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation.
Yeah.
They're a voice of reason in the conservation world and in terms of protecting wildlife habitat. And I'm so grateful to work with them to advance policies here that are the right thing for Montana.
Grew up in Bozeman, Montana, Montana State University graduate. I'm sure he's go cat and go for the football team here this week. And Montana Senator Steve Daines with us. Let's talk about inflation, Senator, the supply chain. Again, for me, it's been butting up against the printed and borrowed money that's been thrown into the economy. Initially, I thought that was necessary at the onset of the pandemic, but I'm not sure the one a year ago in December, the one in early spring on top of that, and then the infrastructure bill, and then the Biden administration has spending plans on top of all that. So the bottom line is that goods and services are rising at record pace, and most Americans are being severely impacted. Hyperinflation is knocking. Are there effective measures in the loop that can stem that tide?
Well, the most effective thing we can do here in Washington is stop this reckless tax and spending bill that will continue to massively expand the federal government. Tom, credible analysis of this bill suggests it's close to $5 trillion. That's the latest price tag on this bill we're debating right now as we speak. Here's the problem. There was nearly $1 trillion of unspent COVID relief money at the end of last year, just when President Biden was sworn in office. And we were warning the Democrats, we were warning the American people, you can't continue to launch, I call them these cash cannons, that are really hyperinflation bombs of another $1.9 trillion that the Democrats passed on a purely partisan basis back in March. Then on top of that, they passed a bill that had some infrastructure in it, but had other Green New Deal provisions, had less than 20% was actually real infrastructure. They passed that at over $1 trillion here a few months ago. Now they want to pass another bill that's nearly $5 trillion if you look at the accurate spending analysis on it. So the problem is you're putting all this cash into consumer demand, but you're at the same time, these government mandates, whether they're vax mandates and other government shutdowns, are interrupting the supply chain. And third, you've got this war on Made in America energy, where he's shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, creating a lot of problems for Made in America energy. You add those three things up, this is a Biden-created inflation disaster. It's only going to get worse.
And I think we've long lost sight of necessary spending in the government or priority spending. Outside of some really, really bad news, what gets our gaze back on controlled spending across all boards, all levels of government?
No, absolutely. I tell you, this is a problem. Not just for Democrats, it's also a problem for Republicans. We've had Republicans in office that have been fiscally irresponsible. But I tell you, the Democrats have taken this now to a level I have never, ever seen in my lifetime. It's as if they have complete disregard for any kind of fiscal restraint. Listen, we are approaching $30 trillion of debt. $30 trillion. This is a massive debt that as interest rates will start to go up, and interest rates will be going up next year. That is a given. Rates are going to go up. That only compounds the challenge we face fiscally here in Washington. And that's why, in my opinion, it's got to start. You've got to have a constitutional amendment that requires a balanced budget, just like what Montana has in 48 states. Second is you've got to put the pain back in the members of Congress. If Congress can't balance a budget, stop paying members of Congress. If you don't put the pain on members, I don't think we're ever going to get out of this fiscal mess here in Washington.
Serves on the Senate Committee on Finance, Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs, also Energy, Natural Resources, and Indian Affairs. Montana Senator Steve Daines with us. To vax mandates, several courts have approved the stay order ruling. They say it's likely not legal, not constitutional, yet those mandates are still on the table. But there's a couple of questions here to look at. So from the economic impact, but also the public health viewpoint, because there are folks out there who favor forced vaccinations in light of the public health threat that the coronavirus presents.
Well, listen, me personally, Tom, I support the vaccine. I've got the vaccine myself. My wife did as well. But I am firmly opposed to these mandates. And I think these mandates actually create a reverse effect, is that folks, when they hear about the mandates, and they don't want to get the vaccine. So this vaccination mandate is DC overreach at its worst. It's unconstitutional. It's unlawful. And I tell you what, Tom, thank God for these Trump-appointed judges. It's the leadership of Governor Gianforte and Attorney General Austin Knutson, who are fighting a good fight on behalf of Montanans. We're fighting a good fight here in Washington. But remember, under President Trump, we put, of course, 3 new Supreme Court justices on the bench. But we also put 54 circuit court judges on the bench spread across this country. It's those judges right now that are, they would call them originalists. In other words, they go back to the Constitution, original intent, and they are the ones that are creating these rulings that are putting stays on these vax mandates that are coming from the Biden administration.
A lot of pushback in that area, also from the public, and this is also worldwide, too. I'm going to run out of time, and I thank you for your time here today, and I hope you're well. I'm going to ask a Christmas question here. But we've got the lightning round with anti-terrorist bill. Hard to imagine that we have taxpayer money going to these groups that are promoting terrorism. I know you're fighting that. And then update us on your bill to recognize the service members who were killed in that disastrous Kabul evacuation.
Yeah, well, we had 13 members of the armed service that were killed at the Karzai Airport in August in that disastrous Afghanistan evacuation from President Biden. I was able to get a bill passed that will award the Congressional Gold Medal Award to these families of those service members. And so I'm pleased to see that happen. We should be signed a law by President Biden any day now. On this issue of paying terrorists, we have got to shut off the payments to the Palestinian Authority, because what they do is they will pay these martyrs, they call them, so-called martyrs, they call it pay to slay. They're suicide bombers. They killed one of our U.S. service members here a few years ago. It's an honor of him. His parents were with us at a press conference this week, as we got to shut these payments off. They pay massive sums of money to these terrorists, and they glorify them as heroes. It's horrible. It's terrible. We need to pass a law here that prevents these payments from going. Actually, it's U.S. taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
They're making the ways of these terrorists.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Merry Christmas to you, and I know your grandkids, I'm sure, are excited. But let me ask this one. It's off the charts, but I'm sure it'll come from the heart. If you were Santa Claus, what one gift would you give the state of Montana this Christmas? 30 seconds.
Boy, to give the state of Montana is I would give them a whole bunch of rain. We need moisture. So if there's one thing that Montana needs right now, it's moisture, and it would solve a lot of our problems. Our farmers and ranchers, I mean, it's just been one of the toughest years. And Santa, please break the drought and bring us a bunch of rain.
Perfect answer. Thank you, Senator. Be well. We'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah, bye-bye.
We're back with more here on Voices of Montana. It's from Montana for Montana. Of course, Senator Steve Daines.